This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Noel and Philip. And in the meantime, we are turning our attention to the labor shortage in the country. The government announced on Sunday that the freeze on hiring foreign workers will remain in place until the end of the year. So this freeze was implemented in the early stages of the pandemic to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and was also geared as a way to provide job opportunities for Malaysians during tough economic times.
However, employers are urging for the government to reconsider this blanket ban, especially as the economy reopens under the National Recovery Plan. So the shortage of workers has been broadly felt across all sectors of the economy, including critical ones like plantations and construction.
So the government has been carrying out a voluntary repatriation and rehiring program for undocumented migrant workers already in the country, but there are problems with implementation, according to employers. And the situation that we find ourselves in now highlights the dependence that our economy has on foreign workers and underscores the fact that reducing this reliance will not really be an easy task. So for a better picture on the impact of foreign worker shortages, we speak to Ko Yu Ling, political economist with Sigi Enam Advisors. Yu Ling, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today. The government has extended the freeze on foreign workers until the end of the year. And initially, this freeze was aimed at redirecting job opportunities for local employment during the pandemic. But have locals actually been filling up these vacancies?
Well, anecdotally, not really. And if we do look at the official statistics, the unemployment rate has persisted at around 5% since December 2020. So these statistics seem to agree with the anecdotes. Malaysia's normal unemployment is 3% plus, and we should otherwise be expecting it to drop towards 4% if there is a good replacement of foreigners with locals.
But how easy is it to just hire a local to fill these vacancies?
Well, these jobs are difficult, dirty, considered, and I think that's been a focus of a lot of attention. There are incentives. We have seen say plantation companies trying to offer better packages, but these jobs are really in the rural sector, and even with higher pay, it's been tough going for them to get the people in. And I suppose if you look at construction, which is again one of the key sectors, and you look at factories, these are difficult for locals to join because of the working conditions and the pay, which has been broadly dictated by what migrant workers are willing to accept coming here to live in dormitories or other conditions and very different circumstances.
Yuling, so some sectors have already been periodically allowed to bring in foreign workers, you know, such as the plantation and construction sector. Has this been sufficient to relieve labour shortages?
Well, you know, there is still quite a bit of confusion, Phil. Plantations, if we look at some of the news, maybe since May 2021, I did check with some of people who are employing, and they seem to be confused still because they tried to put in applications. Some sort of application procedure seems to be available, but they're not getting approvals. But then I checked with another group, which is basically GLC linked, and they apparently got some approved, but they still see it as a net loss of workers. And if we checked with bankers as well, there seems to be a bit of uncertainty about who really could come in. So it's been tough to really identify who could do that. So I think this uncertainty is not a very good sign. And, you know, these sectors are reliant 90% on reliant workers in quite a lot of cases. So it's been a near blanket ban with a lot of uncertainty of who managed to have some exceptions. And so shortages are still being signaled.
And the government has also been implementing a recalibration program to legalize undocumented foreign workers already in the country. And this is in a bid to alleviate the labor shortages. How effective has this program been?
I hate to say it again, I sound like a broken record. I'm told it's ineffective. The key issue is the undocumented need to have their passports to be legalized under this program. And the situation in Malaysia is that many of them ran away without their passports. Why? I guess without a lot of moral justification, many companies, employers hold worker passports. So that's their problem. So now when they have to apply, they lack these documents. So in a way, it's kind of shot themselves in the foot. And companies are also a bit wary of applying because they're worried to expose the number of undocumented they have. So it seems to be at an impossible impasse here, a rut.
How can the Indonesian embassy step in to help and facilitate this process?
I think with this procedural uncertainty, employers worried about whether they will face sanctions. And I think even the process, some have tried to go through and they said it's more than 3 or 4 months. I'm not sure whether the Indonesia embassy is the key consideration. I suppose they are obviously a key player in this, maybe to try to get passports out. But this mass of uncertainty, when we talk to people in the industrial sectors and other sectors, I think the government perhaps needs to offer clarity about this situation.
Now, Yuling, even with a ban on hiring foreign workers from abroad, does this actually stop undocumented migrant workers from entering the country? So really the question is, how effective is government enforcement, you know, to plug the black market for foreign labor?
Well, you know, if you look at the pre-COVID times, you know, we have all these, what they call jalan tikus, right, or mouse tracks. Or, you know, some say it's bigger than that. It's like an elephant corridors, you know, whether it's the Thai border, you know, across from Sumatra. And then, of course, there are huge situations in Sarawak and Sabah borders. But if I may just put aside East Malaysia for now, which is quite different. But for the peninsula, I think these corridors are likely the minority source of illegals or undocumented nowadays. Many are actually those who have massively overstayed their permits. So the common talk in the industrial sector is that there could be one or two undocumented for every documented worker. The black market is very big, and this has somehow defied enforcement, and all political will has been lacking. You can sort of tell about undocumented or black market labor because when I interview employers, there will be some who talk about monthly pay. So I think the monthly pay is what you would expect to go through the documented system. And also there's a lot of people who talk about day rates. So I'm sitting there saying, I have to convert my day rates to monthly. And then it sort of tweaked. Oh, my goodness. That's a different market.
Right. Interesting stuff there, Yuling. But meanwhile, employers groups are urging for the ban on foreign worker hiring to be lifted as the labor shortages impede economic recovery. I mean, do you think this is something the government should be considering?
Well, you know, beyond these limited anecdotes of trying to ferret out who had these special approvals while there's, you know, these on these re-entries, essentially, you know, these lucky ones, I think, are still facing a limited situation despite getting some re-entry approvals. I think resuming the entry of foreign workers is important for many industries. So when the economy is in recovery, the government likely will lift the ban. But, you know, long term, there is still a need to reduce the foreign worker numbers, probably by a quarter or more, by expanding on mechanization and productivity with better trading. You know, we are short of those willing to take the dirty, dangerous jobs. But I think what's under-recognized is that even technical skills are lacking.
Yuling, thanks so much for weighing in on this. That was Ko Yuling, political economist at Sigi Enam Advisors, giving us the lay of the land in terms of foreign worker shortages and just how it's impacting our economy.
Yeah, so I think the last point that she made, you know, is we just need to push towards more automation because granted, and the reality is that many jobs our local workers don't want to take up, right? Because one, it may mean they have to relocate to a rural area. And I also hear that even foreign workers are getting choosy. They also prefer to be in the urban areas rather than in rural places.
Mm-hmm. I did see the Sime Darby advert for locals to come and work in the plantations, you know, like about 2-3 weeks ago. So I really wonder how the take up was. But I was just, you know, tickled by what Ko Yuling said about Jalan Tikus and elephant corridors, you know. But she made a very interesting point is that when you speak to someone, you will know or not whether they're undocumented or not based on their wage structure, essentially.
That's right. And it is, it's a pretty ingrained system in the way our labor operates, right? So it's easy to say, oh, we need to wean off our reliance of them, but really doing that, it's going to be a lot more difficult than what we would like to assume. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.